Now it's time for Living Questions, our monthly series examining the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies, and today I'm pleased to welcome to the program two very thoughtful church leaders whose work here in Baltimore and beyond extends to members of many different faith communities. Bishop Douglas Miles is the pastor and founder of Koinonia Baptist Church in Baltimore and the co-chair emeritus of BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. Dr. Brad Braxton is the founding senior pastor of the Open Church in Baltimore. He also served for several years as the program officer for religion in the public sphere at the Ford Foundation in New York. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
So, Bishop Miles, you have been working with BUILD and in other capacities for decades in Sandtown, Winchester, and in the areas around town that were so affected by the disturbances of the last few weeks. And you've been working on issues like crime and safety and education and job training and youth opportunities. Do you have a sense that a lot of people are hoping, praying, that this is now a pivotal moment, that because of what's taken place earlier this month, people will be somehow motivated and animated to really solve some of these problems?
It's my earnest desire that will be the reality that will come out of the things that have happened in the past few weeks. Baltimore tends to be a town that reacts. And sometimes the reaction lasts no longer than the 90-day news cycle. It's my hope that this time around, people will take notice that this city is in serious trouble, trouble that many of us have been saying for the past 20 years, of whole segments of the city being neglected and feeling left out.
Where should they concentrate the efforts initially?
Initially, I think you ought to concentrate on the parents. I know there's a major push for youth employment this summer. But it's almost an abomination for children to be taking care of their families, whether it's through Youth Corps, Youth Works, or the drug culture. We ought to concentrate on putting parents to work long term.
And Dr. Brad Braxton, you have been working on issues related to social justice throughout your career. The premise of the Open Church, which you founded a few years ago, is inclusiveness. In the context of, you know, the economic and opportunity disparities that are as acute as they are here in Baltimore, you work a lot in creating spaces where diversity can flourish. Are those same spaces the same places that can lead to really true and authentic, you know, empathy and cooperation between those people who have resources and those people who don't?
I think this is a moment for building what we are calling at the Open Church thick coalitions. To Bishop Miles's point, I think many of us need to be mindful that compassion fatigue will set in very soon. There's been a lot of very good work that has been done in these initial efforts to restore and heal our community. And yet we know there will be a moment when, even now, cameras are leaving, and we're going to be left to do the very difficult, long-term work of healing the soul of Baltimore, even as we deal with all of these very real policy issues. So what I'm calling for, as I do my best to lead the Open Church, are these coalitions that cut against the grain of the worst of our identity politics. So right now, we need people from all sectors, strata, and stripes of society working together. And one of the things that I would say is that we look at the various ways that groups have capital to invest, that there are communities that may not have financial capital. And often because they lack financial capital, the other forms of capital that they can invest to make us a better society are discredited. So when you build a thick coalition, everyone has something to give. And everyone has something to gain.
Yeah, so there's all different kinds of capital
Indeed.
That can be invested. Sure,
Indeed.
Sure. And Bishop Miles, you certainly have been involved in investing the financial capital as well as other kinds. In Sandtown, Winchester, there are estimates of anywhere from 40 to as many as 50 or 52 churches in the Sandtown neighborhood, which is about a 72 square block area. What is the role of the church at a moment like this? Do you all feel even more acute pressure at this point to take up some of these very complicated and longstanding issues that some folks would say, you know, this is a political issue, this is something our government, our society should be doing?
The role of the church is to be the church. That is, to minister in and to the community in which it finds itself. One of the sad realities is that over the years, the African-American church, for the first time in its history, in many communities, has largely become a gathered church, a church that commutes in and then commutes out. Just a few weeks ago, did a survey, what we call house meetings in Build, but we did it with Baptist clergy from throughout the city, and the most striking problem that the Baptist clergy say the problem is lack of relationship of the church to the communities in which they're located, and that's a reality.
Yeah, interesting. And Dr. Braxton, there's this disconnect in so many communities from communities that are impoverished and having a difficult time. You know, Bishop Miles, for example, founded the Black Student Union at Johns Hopkins in the 1960s, right? And Hopkins at that point was just sitting up there on the hill and just was kind of, you know, oblivious to what was going on around it. And there are folks who would still contend that that's still the case today. What do you think it's really going to take to fully engage communities that are not impoverished with those that are?
What is, I think, most needed beyond all of the very detailed policy analysis that must be undertaken to help us right the ship is a sense of soul repair. As a doctor of the soul, often when I'm in classrooms or with my congregants, I lead with this question: how is your soul today? There's something about soul, and you can parse that out many ways. You don't have to necessarily be a person of faith, but the essence of my humanity, that sacred part of me that reaches out to connect with the sacred part of you, at the end of the day, the soul is neither black nor white nor Asian nor straight nor gay nor rich nor poor. I mean, all these identity politics. And because we have not done the deep soul work, we are missing the fact that unless we speak to these soul issues, unrest can find all of our neighborhoods. And there is a connectivity around soul. And that's where faith communities can be at their best, where they can help people connect at that level, where I can look you in your eye in the spirit of that famous greeting, Namaste. The sacred in me greets the sacred in you. And if we would have more of that, whether we're talking about in legislative suites or in the streets, either way, if we had more people looking into each other's eyes and asking, how is your soul today, we might have less violence, that is violence on the streets and again, violence in public policies.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. Our series Living Questions continues this morning. Our look at religion in the public sphere, that's Dr. Brad Braxton, the founder of the Open Church in Baltimore. Bishop Douglas Miles from Koinonia Baptist Church is here as well. I'm Tom Hall. Bishop Miles, this violence, a lot of folks have been saying, you know, they decry the violence, but they understand it. It was predictable because violence is the only way that some of these voices are ever going to be heard. What's your reaction to that interpretation of what went on a few weeks ago?
It's unfortunate that that's a reality too often within our society, that it's only after there is some kind of violent confrontation that people begin to take notice. Again, for more than three decades, the Build organization has been saying to the Baltimore community that there are two Baltimores, an uptown Baltimore and a downtown Baltimore. And we were at times laughed at for raising that and told we were giving Baltimore a black eye by raising the specter of poverty, of disenfranchised people, of whole segments of the community being neglected. But again, we've seen that come to fruition in this day, that there are so many people in this city who feel they have no voice, and given an opportunity to strike out, they will.
And Reverend Braxton, you have spent some time with the Ford Foundation studying this notion of the role of religion in the public sphere. What did you find in general about, you know, the role that the church can have, the role that religion in general can have, particularly at such a tender moment as we face here in Baltimore?
One of the key roles that I think faith communities can play is enlarging the public imagination. I am fearful now that we may be rushing prematurely to solutions, as badly as we need some solutions, without attending to frameworks. There's a framework that is needed, I would argue, and that is a moral framework that more than one thing can be true at the same time. And the public imagination tends to be very truncated, so that at one and the same time, many people would say you can't decry police brutality and at the same time say, and this may be politically incorrect, there is irresponsibility in the African-American community too. You cannot at the same time say that, as in every profession, certainly there are rogue police officers. Can I also say, as a member of the clergy, there are some rogue gangster preachers who have perpetuated some of the worst violence known to humanity on their congregations. There are two things that can be true at the same time. My 27-year-old niece, a beautiful, college-educated young woman, is on the police force in Roanoke, Virginia. And as her uncle, I need to say thanks be to God for the dedicated women and men in police forces all across the United States to whom we do owe our peace and security. And there have been men and women in police departments who have done deplorable things. So faith communities, through our scriptures, our acts of worship, our acts of compassion and justice, have the opportunity, if we are willing to be courageous, to challenge the body politic, to hold large, complex truth. More than one thing can be true at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Miles, there's a piece in the New York Times a week ago yesterday about a guy who's from Baltimore. He's living in Minneapolis, but now he's been at Ferguson. He's been in Staten Island, at Cleveland, and he was in Baltimore, a fellow named DeRay McKesson. He's a Baltimore native and a blogger. And he talks about the fact that the uprisings that have emanated from these police brutality cases around the country it's a leaderless movement. As you looked at the involvement of the clergy over these last few weeks, there were some members of the clergy sort of trying to step up, at least to identify as, you know, leaders of this whatever loose coalitions may started to form. But you've been at this a long time. You've been in this community for most of the last 40 or 50 years. What's your take on the leadership and the role that clergy may play in that?
I think that the clergy has to step up and play a major role in again, reasserting leadership within the African-American community in particular. We're the freest of all leaders in our community because the persons that we're responsible to tend to have the same agenda that we have. So clergy must step up and fulfill that leadership role that has been vacated largely through celebrity preaching. That's what's killed our community to a large extent. Persons wanting to build their own separate little kingdoms and sacrificing the good of the whole community. On the other end, I reject this concept of brother's keeper. In the scripture, if you'll note, God never answers the question when Cain raises the question, am I my brother's keeper? Because we're not our brother's keeper. We are our brother's brother. And that requires much more than keeper. Keeper implies a paternalistic relationship. Brother implies a relationship of love, of mutual respect, of empathy, and of willingness to sacrifice for the other simply because you're related. So I think that those are some of the things that have to be looked at.
Well, you have both given us so much to think about and to ponder, and I'm grateful to both of you for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bishop Douglas Miles is the senior pastor at Koinonia Baptist Church and co-chair emeritus of Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. Dr. Brad Braxton is the founding senior pastor of the Open Church in Baltimore. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. You've been listening to the latest installment in our series, Living Questions, produced by WIPR in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. You can hear this and other conversations in our Living Questions series when you visit our website, wipr.org/livingquestions. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.